Hello, this is Pete Beck III with ThirdPeter.com. Welcome to today's podcast, which is part of the Discipleship Foundation series. This is chapter 51, How to Make an Appeal to Authority. How do we properly appeal to someone in authority if she or he asks us to do something unwise or sinful? How do we maintain an attitude of proper submissiveness when challenging or informing a leader that we cannot obey for reasons of conscience? How we handle such situations will say a lot about our understanding of authority and our commitment to maintaining a right relationship with authority for the Lord's sake. 1 Timothy 5:1 says, "Do not sharply rebuke an older man, but rather appeal to him as a father, to the younger men as brothers." New American Standard Bible. Obviously, unless we are a Roman Catholic vis-a-vis the Pope, people in authority are not infallible. It is a well-known principle that power corrupts, so it is likely that the more authority a person has and the less accountability, the greater the probability he or she will abuse that authority. The Bible commands us to obey delegated authority unless doing so would violate God's commands or our conscience. Sin or foolishness on the part of the one in authority does not relieve us from our duty to properly submit to authority in general and that person in particular. Such situations test whether we recognize that all authority comes from God, regardless of the frailty or faultiness of the human vessel. Romans 13, 1 and 2 says, "Every person is to be in subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves." That's the New American Standard Bible. The Bible gives us examples of men and women who had to relate to sinful, misguided, or unreasonable authorities. Let's focus on four. Daniel. From Daniel, we learn to offer an alternative plan to the one to which we object. Daniel had been taken captive by the Babylonians and was singled out for advanced training and preparation for service to the king. Part of that training required him to eat food that God's word forbade him to consume. What was he to do? He could boldly rebel against the command for conscience's sake and face the consequences like a man, or he could knuckle under, hoping God would understand his predicament. A third alternative would be to resist passively, aggressively. That is, he would never voice his complaint, but simply would not comply. Daniel was an extremely wise man, however, and took a fourth route, which worked for him. He appealed to authority and was granted his request. Rather than going through the verses in Daniel 1, verses 8 through 16, which you can do on your own, I will extract the principles. Number one, David made up his mind that he would not sin against God by obeying the king's command. It is important that we have strong convictions when making such an appeal and not mere preferences. Two, he wisely sought to skirt a direct confrontation by asking for permission to be excused from obeying the king's command. Daniel was not afraid, however. Later in life, he directly violated the king's command not to pray to God, for which an appeal was not possible, since the king at that time could not reverse his own command. His disobedience resulted in his being put into a lion's den overnight. Three, Daniel understood the purpose of the king's command and offered a counter proposal to achieve the same or better results in a way that would not violate his conscience. The principle here is that we should never just say no to a command without offering a wise alternative plan to help the one in authority achieve his or her objectives. If we show that we are committed to the success of the one in authority, it is more likely that he or she will consider our proposal. 4. Daniel asked that his proposal be tested, evaluated, and a decision made accordingly. This recognized the right of the one in authority to be the decision maker. 5. Daniel was careful not to engage the pride of his authority by making a threat of any kind, do this or else. Except in the case when we are commanded to sin, the one in authority needs to know that we will submit to an undesired response. In the case above, after testing, Daniel looked better than the other candidates after being on a diet that conformed to the law of Moses. So his request was granted. It should be noted that Daniel's superior took a risk doing this, so the favor of the Lord was a big factor too. However, we may not receive such a blessed outcome. Now let's consider Esther. Esther appealed to her husband, the king, because a high-ranking enemy who was close to the king had devised a plan to destroy her people, the Jews, with the king's unwitting approval. She may have been able to escape this destruction since her Jewishness was not known at the time, but how could she passively concede to the obliteration of her people? This perilous situation required delicacy and great wisdom on her part. From Esther, we learn the art of wisely crafting an appeal. She would only get one shot at changing the course of events, so she had to make the most of it. This may be our case too. She used her leverage with the king as his beloved wife and queen to gain an audience with the king. She then excited his interest by delaying the presentation of the details of her appeal until the perfect time. She prepared a great feast for her husband king before making her appeal, putting him in the best frame of mind to grant her request. She was also wise enough to make the law that Haman had devised to wipe out the Jews look as evil as possible by setting up a situation in which the king had to make a choice between her and Haman, an easy choice for him to make. Thirdly, let's consider Nathan the prophet. Another wisely crafted appeal to authority was made by Nathan the prophet to King David after the latter had committed adultery with Bathsheba and murdered her husband to cover it up. Whether or not the public was aware of David's sin, news of it had at least reached Nathan. As God's representative to David, he felt the responsibility to confront the king to hopefully bring him to repentance. David had the authority to execute Nathan, so the prophet was taking his life into his hands. By crafting a story that excited David's sense of injustice, he got David to unwittingly condemn his own behavior. He sprung the trap by revealing that he had done what made him so angry at the imaginary someone else. The passage is found in 2 Samuel 12, 1 through 14. I encourage you to read it. If Nathan had barged into David's presence and confronted him without getting David to see his sin through the story, the results may not have been very good. When we need to confront someone, especially someone in authority, why not ask God, the wisest, kindest, most loving, and most truthful person, to show us the best way to do it. And finally, let's consider Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the book of Daniel. These were friends of Daniel the Babylonian and were Babylonian officials of high rank who outrightly refused to bow to the golden idol of Nebuchadnezzar, even though the punishment was death. When the king gave them one last chance, here is the account of their response. And I'm reading from Daniel 3:15 through 18. The king said, "Now, if you are ready at the moment, you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, and bagpipe, and all kinds of music to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not, you will immediately be cast into the midst of a furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." New American Standard Bible. In this case, there was no polite way to refuse a direct command from an obdurate king to commit idolatry. Peter replied to the Jewish leaders who commanded him to stop preaching the gospel, "We must obey God rather than men," Acts 5:29. In such cases, we should strive to maintain a properly submissive manner and tone when making a stand of conscience. When forced into such a corner, our refusal will carry a bad enough consequence without our making it worse by having a bad attitude. Peter later wrote the following in 1 Peter 3:14-17. "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. For it is better, if God should will it so, that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong." When making an appeal to authority, whether we can use a little honey to make an appeal more palatable or must be confrontive, it is important to keep in mind that our attitude is important because we serve God, the one behind all authority. The art of making an appeal to authority is one of the most important skills we may ever acquire and deserves our utmost attention and consideration. Whenever we may need to make such an appeal, let's ask God for the wisdom and correct heart attitude, whether it goes as we desire or not. Thank you for listening.